Radio Veritas at 8 minutes past 4 in the afternoon. Greetings to you all and welcome to this program, Changing Gear, on your favourite radio station. Archbishop William Slattery of Pretoria, Tswane, with you, inviting you. Let us travel together for the next while, reflecting on our faith and reflecting on the life of the Church. It's always lovely to be with you and to meet you afterwards in all the various parishes. So many of you who are so attentive to Radio Veritas and so supportive of it. So thank you very much. Today I want to look at a number of things. It's the beginning of the year, and so I'm encouraging people who are volunteering to teach catechism this year. I am going to talk a little bit about a Nigerian diocesan priest who has been beatified. I also want to talk about parish councils. Last weekend we had the Archdiocesan Pastoral Council, just to encourage our parishes, our priests in the first instance, and all our people to realize that we are in it together. We're all called for the future of our parish, our diocese, and the church itself. We are all invited to participate. And also later on, I hope to talk to Koketso Zomba from Hammondscroll, who was the National Secretary leading up to the Mini World Youth Day and who will be representing the youth of South Africa in Rome later this year at the Synod. I hope to speak to Koketso, who has done so much for the youth in our country. Just a few things, the beginning of our program, items that have taken place or are about to take place. This Saturday, today after all is the 18th, so on the 20th of January at Ekangala, Deacon Fanny Mseza of the Archdiocese of Pretoria will be ordained a priest. And I see he has chosen his gospel for the day from St. John's Gospel chapter 6, which speaks about, which is the Word of God, and speaking about the Eucharist, which will be a central aspect of his future life, making the Lord present, bringing the Lord back for our communities and our people and our families in the Archdiocese. He's called to guide, to discern, at the same time to listen and to learn and to be a sign of Christ as Shepherd. So we welcome Father Fanny Mseza in Kangala, 10 o'clock this Saturday. Also, just to say, next week actually will be the plenary session of the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference at St. John Vianney Seminary from the 23rd to the 30th of January. And so I will not be here this coming Thursday because I will be attending the Bishops' Conference, but I will be with you with God's help from there on after that. But during the Bishops' Conference on Sunday the 28th of January, the bishops for their Sunday Mass will go to Zwavelpoor, the Church of the Beatitude in Pretoria East, to pray together and give thanks to God for the bicentenary of our church here in Southern Africa. You know, so at 11 o'clock, between half past 10 and 11 o'clock, and there is a mass for the parish before that, so we go in immediately after that, and we will have we are remembering 200 years of the church in Southern Africa. The theme actually chosen for this bicentenary is we will go to church to remember the past, to live the present with enthusiasm, and also to look forward to the future with confidence. So this is the centenary theme. So on the 28th, Sunday the 28th. Now, the real celebration, in a sense, that will touch everybody in the country will be on the Sunday following that again. But I'll speak to you before that. The Sunday of the 4th of February, in which all parishes are invited to have a special, to focus the theme, if you like, of their Holy Mass on that day, to give thanks to God for his blessing and for the growth of the church and for the future of the church in Southern Africa. Again, During the Bishops' Conference this coming week, of course, there are many reports have to be made. Sister Hermana Gill and Father Raka Cates and so on, who are at the Secretariat, have been putting together the programme with the Executive Board of the Bishops' Conference. In a way, the basic theme that the bishops are engaged in is evangelization. How to bring our people to Jesus and how to allow our people or to encourage them, to open the door for them so that they can encounter the Lord himself. Evangelization. And so they will be discussing, I suppose, in a very central aspect of their work, the pastoral plan. A pastoral plan is a ministry plan, an activity plan, a focused plan for the work of the church over the next number of years. You will remember, some of you anyway, in 1989, after something 9 years of discussions and consultation around the country, we came up with a pastoral plan, which you'll remember as Community Serving Humanity. And that centered in a very special way around small Christian communities. And this had excellent results and involved people in parishes, communities and families praying together, sharing their lives together, and above all, sharing the gospel together. But I suppose if you look, as with Father Barney McAleer and myself, when we were in the Evangelization Committee of the Bishops' Conference, we were looking at where now are the small Christian communities. And of course, some are still there. Some wonderful groups have continued all these almost 30 years, meeting and praying together. But on the other hand, a lot of groups have simply got weaker, have dispersed or have died for various reasons. Small Christian communities have to be encouraged, have to be motivated. There has to be a sort of a coordinator. And so in many cases, small Christian communities have weakened to a certain extent. And so now the new pastoral plan will still be looking at small Christian communities. There's not a thing of the past, but a thing of the future. But we will be looking at the changes that have taken place in South Africa over the last 30 or so years. And the new pastoral plan will be centred on evangelisation and reconciliation, and will come up analysing so many aspects of our Christian and daily lives in South Africa, the economic, social, political life of our country, and see how we as church should respond to that situation. One or two other things before we listen to our first piece of music. On this Sunday, I will be at Hebron at St. Joachim and Anne for the mandate. Now, the mandate is really the appointment or the commissioning of catechism teachers. Now, last year in the Archdiocese, we had almost 900 people who volunteered to teach catechism and worked during the year doing that. And at the beginning of the year, they were mandated, commissioned or sent out from the church itself. In other words, it was formalized as a task coming from the church, from the risen Lord himself. And so this Sunday, I will be at St. Joachim and Anne in Hebron for the mandate of those in the northwest. Later on and further in the Sundays during February, which you will hear about, I will be in various other places to do that. Yesterday I had great joy. I went to Lady Selborne. Yesterday we were celebrating the 100 years of Sister Mary Coleman Walsh, 100 years of age. It was a special, beautiful letter and a very lovely gift from the President of Ireland, Mr. Michael D. Higgins, delivered by the Second Secretary at the embassy in Pretoria. And Sister Mary Coleman is 100 years of age, and she has worked for, 50 years or more here in Southern Africa as a Holy Cross sister. Mainly, she worked for the church in Zimbabwe, Anna Katimum Lilo, where she had a huge impact everywhere she went. She was a pioneer, a woman of great determination, she empowered other people, she interacted so well with other people. Her whole life was dedicated to helping people to realize their potential. I suppose when she was a young girl in the 1920s in Ireland, she was very conscious of a people, the Irish, coming out of a colonial oppressed situation and with great potential, but with limited ability to actuate that potential. And so she came with that fire in her heart to find people here in southern Africa, Zimbabwe and other places in South Africa, but Katimum Lilo up in the belt. And there she started schools, educational establishments, skill centres, often for women, to give them the opportunity for helping themselves. Also Sister Adalberta from Germany was 80 years of age. She also held huge responsibilities worldwide in the Holy Cross Congregation on the General Council in Switzerland, but is now very, very active at 80 years of age, keeping a wonderful community together, and that place at Lady Selborne. So these are a number of the things that have happened or are happening. I'll just finally, before we play some music, I am praying for and assuring the young people, the children, the youth, and in a very special way, the teachers and parents who are involved in going back to school. This is the second day of being back in school. And so in a special way, we pray for our teachers. You know, teaching is all about relationships. Yes, it's about communicating knowledge and skills, academic achievements, but it's about relationships, to enter into relationship with young souls, young minds, young hearts, many of them sometimes deprived, with very few adults meaningfully present in their lives. So it's about relationships with them. And as I often say, you know, you may be teaching biology or history or TOSA or English, but more is taking place in that classroom than you perceive, because not only are you teaching a subject, which is very important indeed, but you're actually relating with young people, and the way you value them, the way you respect them, the way you respond to them, all of that is forming their souls and their minds. So more is taking place than just teaching a subject. You belong to one of the most honored professions in human history as teachers. Jesus was known as a teacher, rabbi. As Mr. Mandela says, but as everybody knows, education changes everything, as the song said. Education changes everything. We must remember it is child-centered. It's not about promotion. It's not about relationships between the teachers. In the first instance, it's about being child-centered. And so I say to your teachers, look after yourselves. You're going on a long journey now. You're standing there. You're trying to get ideas and concepts and values into children's minds. I'm reminded of the story of a man who decided to walk across North Africa, walk across the desert to the sand and sand hills and sand dunes for thousands of miles. When he finished the journey successfully, they interviewed him. They asked him, what was the most difficult? Was it the heat of the day in the desert, or was it the cold of the night in the desert? And he says, neither. The most difficult thing in my journey was the sand in my shoes. And this really is something that I think applies to the profession of teaching. You have many challenges, but it's the daily grind of going back there every day and being in good form and trying to tolerate children who sometimes are not open to learning. Recently I heard an interview with a man in India who has been involved in a movement tracing 10,000 lost children. Imagine that, 10,000 lost children in the subcontinent of India. This man has been involved in this wonderful work. And the interviewer asked him, what is it like to save a child? And the man said, it is like meeting God. To save a child is like meeting God. And so, dear teachers, you are going into a great task, and I ask you, look after yourselves too. Make time for yourself, because you have family and other responsibilities. Have some silence in your life. Reflect on what you're doing and the impact you're having on the children, and pray for them. Because I'm going to be speaking quite a bit about communicating or sharing our faith values, let us listen now to the first hymn today, Faith of Our Fathers, Frank Patterson. Radio Veritas, welcome back. Changing gear, Archbishop William Slattery with you. It is now 26 minutes after 4 in the afternoon. Welcome, if you've just joined us, it's lovely always to have you. Thank you very much indeed. There used to be a poster, you know, for enlisting soldiers to join the army in the First World War, inviting them, join you, your country needs you. At this time of the year, the church is saying something like that, be a catechist, your parish needs you. And this month, children are saying to us in the church, who will tell us about Jesus? Parents are saying or asking, can somebody help me bring my child to God? Parish councils are saying, please, brothers and sisters, you know, please volunteer to help our young people to become part of our family, our church family, introduce them to the Lord and to the gospel. And priests will be making announcements. Let us share the joy and the faith, our faith, with all who come to us, adults, children, and youth in a special way. Let me tell you first the story of an experience of a lady who was a catechist here in South Africa. One Sunday after Mass, at the beginning of a particular year, Mrs. Shabalala went out of the church, and a man who was about 45 or 50 with his wife and son came to greet her. She did not recognize him or her. This man was extremely friendly with his wife and son. He was obviously delighted to see Mrs. Shabalala. He greeted her, he praised her. Speaking in front of her, he said to his wife, this is the woman I always remember, whom I always quote and whom I always speak about. Then he introduced himself to Mashabalala. He says, my name is Tsietsi. And then she looked at him again. Of course, he had got much older in those 25 or 30 years, and she was almost shocked to see Tsietsi now, so full of joy, so full of friendship, so delighted to see her. Because when he was, the first year she taught catechism, she taught the first Holy Communion children, and this very Tsietsi was in the class. And she remembered him as an utter disaster for her. Her heart sank. He was the most troublesome child she had ever met. She almost retired from teaching catechism because of this very Tsietsi those many years ago. He never attended properly. He wasn't paying attention. He was making noise. He was going in and going out. He distracted others. He asked foolish questions and laughed. Yes, she remembered Tsietsi very well. One day even he got out to the window in the classroom and later returned to the door, to the great amusement and distraction of all the other children. Of course, at the end of the year in November for First Holy Communion, he failed utterly. And so then there was big discussions in his family and everything else. And so she decided to give him one last chance, and she gave him an oral exam, and somehow or other he passed. And here now, some 30 years later, is Tsietsi with his wife and his son. Tsietsi said to Mashabalala, I've come back now to my parish. I am married. This is my wife. This is my son here. Tsietsi Yabubedi. and she looked at the boy. Yeah, he looked like his father, same head, the same mischief in his eyes. And then the father says, because you had such an impact on me, I want this, my son, to be in your class this year. Then Mrs. Shabalala, she told a lie. Wakamamanga. She told a lie, she says to them, I will be very happy to have him. Now, she wasn't so sure. She looked at the head of the young fellow. He looked so like his father as he was so many years ago. And she remembered the trouble she had then. On the way home, Meshabalala says, I feel like resigning. Maybe I can get this child into Madlamini, who might take him for the year, because of her memories. When she got home, she spoke to Mshengo himself, the husband. She says, I want to resign. This child, this son of this fellow who was so terrible, is going to be in my class this year. I feel like resigning. Shabalal says, look here, that man, look how he has changed. And look what he said about you, how it was you he remembered all those years. It was you who brought him back to the faith. You put a light switch somehow in his heart and in his soul, and it is coming alight now. No, you cannot give up teaching catechism. It may be difficult, but in a sense it's going to bring a great reward. Let's listen now to our second hymn today, Tina Sihambanaye.